There is one particular theme that I would like to speak of this morning in consideration of the young men who graduated and also in consideration of those who will be confirmed. It's something that all of us can consider. One of the beautiful things about our Catholic faith is the wonderful history of those who have gone before us in living the faith and oftentimes making great sacrifices, even dying for the faith. And that theme that I'd like to speak about is that virtue of fortitude. It is also one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. When we think of fortitude, we know how all men truly esteem and reverence those who are courageous, who are not afraid to stand against all odds and to do what's right. In the history of our Catholic faith, we have many, many wonderful examples of courage and fortitude. And their example demonstrates to all of us the grace of God, what the grace of God can do. It is in particular, when I think of the English martyrs, this is something that we've been reading about in the seminary in Omaha, at our major seminary. We're reading about this priest in England during the time of the Protestant persecution under Queen Elizabeth. And one of the beautiful things is that these priests, they were armed with the truth. They had that certainty, that conviction. They knew that they represented the true faith, and that even at the sacrifice of their lives, they went to England to bring the sacraments, the Mass and the sacraments, to the people there. There were also not just priests, but courageous lay people who risked losing everything and also being in prison, also being put to death, in order to have these priests come into their homes to provide a safe sanctuary, to provide a place for the Mass, and also a place of hiding when, under the Protestant rule, it was against the law for priests to be functioning as priests. And if they were caught, oftentimes they were in prison and put to death. I was thinking of one particular case in an area of lay people, and this was a woman, a saintly woman by the name of Margaret Clitheroe. It is a very interesting story because Margaret Clitheroe, she really, truly had a love for the faith, and she understood the importance of giving that faith to her children. Margaret Clitheroe would secretly have a priest come in to offer Mass in her home. And she also had a little privately, secretively, a school in which her children and other Catholics from the area were educated. Now, during this time of persecution, there were men in England called priest hunters. And not just that, they were also looking for money, because if you were to capture a priest, they were like bounty hunters. If you were to capture a priest or discover Catholics practicing the faith, and you were to report this to the government, you were given a large sum of money. And there were many of these, what I'd call scavengers, looking to find Catholics who were still practicing the faith. Remember, it was against the law. And prior to that, we know that St. Thomas More was beheaded, and St. John Fisher was also put to death. There were many, many who suffered for the faith. The very fact that people would not go to the Protestant service, they were taxed, they were penalized. But it was on one occasion where Margaret Clitheroe's son went overseas or crossed the channel to France to study at Douai. He was studying for the priesthood. And he would write letters back home telling his mother how he was doing in his studies for the priesthood. And on one occasion, one of the letters was intercepted. And so these priest hunters, these bounty hunters, surrounded the house. And when they saw that, slowly but surely, in a certain period of time, people were coming to the house and not leaving, they thought, now we got them. Margaret Clitheroe was arrested. And for those of you who don't know the story, she was put to death in a very cruel manner. She would not deny the faith. she was steadfast in her practice of the faith. Her husband, he was not a practicing Catholic. Though he loved and respected his wife, he compromised and went to the Protestant service, and he paid the fine for Margaret not to go. But nevertheless, when Margaret Clitheroe was arrested, she was going to be put to death, and that was by laying her across a slab rock. They put a large board across the on top of her and started putting rocks on top of her and crushed her to death. And when she was underneath this board, she was praying and singing hymns until the life was extinguished from her body and her soul took its flight to heaven. That, my dear friends in Christ, is courage. A courage that she knew the consequences of having priests come to her home, the consequences of having a school to educate the children in the Catholic faith. She knew those consequences, and yet she so willingly took that risk because she knows what was important. She knew what was important in life. What shall a person give in exchange for his or her soul? My dear friends in Christ, that is fortitude, that is courage. We are also reading about a priest, and he wrote an autobiography. He was never put to death, although he was arrested. And this is the most fascinating story, how he coordinated amongst the Jesuits in England their activities in covering as many parishes as possible. I remember when we were having this table reading at supper time, you could hear even a little pea hit the plate. It was so quiet. It was just so fascinating. When this priest, I'll make a long story short, when this priest was arrested, he was very, very clever. He would write little notes. The gist of was nothing. He wrote in pencil on pieces of paper. But in between the lines, he used orange juice. And he wrote with orange juice. And so if you looked at it in regular daylight, all would you see is this pencil markings about this nothings, you know, food's bad here and, you know, I'm not being mistreated and whatever on a pencil. But if he held his letter up to the light, in between the lines, you could actually see his writing in the orange juice. And that's where he was conveying to his faithful flock to persevere in the faith, to love God and love their Catholic faith and not be afraid to suffer. And he exhorted them to the practice of their faith. On one occasion, though, this priest had an idea. He was ready to die for the faith, but if it pleased God that he could escape and once again provide the Mass and the sacraments, he was going to try. And he was, over the months that he was in prison, he talked to the jailer who was responsible for him and for this other layman, this other Catholic across in another prison cell. And he convinced the jailer to give him the opportunity to go next door and visit this other man. He says, nothing bad can come of it. You know, we're certainly totally locked in here. And so the jailer was bribed, and he went across. And as the priest was in this other man's cell, they looked out the window, and he said, there's a moat there. We could easily escape if we could get but a rope all the way across. And so this priest began to think, if I could but save the twine that we have collected, you know, they had twine in there, and he'd keep saving twine and putting it together. He could throw a rock across the moat. Someone could tie a rope onto it. He can pull the twine back, and they could slide down the rope. And that's exactly what he did. He wrote with orange juice in between his lines, asking another priest if he thought this was a undertaking, an endeavor that they should attempt the risk because it involved other lay people for his escape. And he'd get this note back, once again written in orange juice, written between the lines. He'd hold it up to the firelight, and he saw that, yes, this is something that would be worth the risk. And that's exactly what they did. But what was interesting is the layman was able to slide all the way down across the moat onto freedom, but this priest that had been in prison for such a long time, he got halfway across on the rope. His arms and his legs could not go any further. And he was suspended right over the water, halfway between the prison cell and halfway between the ground. And it ended up that one of the Catholics that was part of the rescue team, he crawled out there, grabbed the priest, and kept pulling him down from the rope. And the priest, he was lucky, he just didn't lose his strength and fall into the water and drowned. But the things that these men did to provide the Mass and the sacraments. Now, this was some 400 years ago. But you know, we don't have to think that far back. What did Catholics in Mexico risk for the Mass and for the sacraments? They risked their lives. All of us are very familiar with Father Michael Pro, the great Jesuit Mexican martyr. But there were many priests who were put to death, many laymen and women who were imprisoned for providing the Mass and the sacraments, at least the atmosphere, the circumstances, the providing a home or some place of refuge for the priests. I know on one occasion in Guadalajara, there is, in the Cathedral of Guadalajara, a place where these two laymen are buried. And these men had a printing press by which they printed catechisms. And this is in the 1920s. But the government, the Masonic government, anti-Catholic government of Mexico, discovered these men. They cut both their hands off as a punishment. They said, the next time we catch you doing something like this, you will be put to death. But they cut their hands off as an example to the rest, that if you continue to aid and abet these priests, then this is what you have coming as well. We know the beautiful story of Father Michael Pro as he stood before the firing squad. They offered him a blindfold. He didn't want it because he had the fortitude, the grace of God sustaining him. And what was his battle cry? Long live Christ the King. When we think of these examples of laymen and women, boys and girls, and think of priests and religious with the fortitude that God's grace gave them to strengthen them, to live their faith, it's a reminder to all of us how important it is that we also, as we go through our lives here on earth, have that same fortitude. And the Holy Ghost gives us that strength and fortitude. Today, we don't maybe have a physical persecution. We're not going to be put to death or executed or be in prison for our faith. But nevertheless, all of us suffer the temptations and the attacks of the devil. We know the society that surrounds us is very, very immoral. It seems like it is so prevalent, so available, immorality and impurity everywhere. And we know how, when we think of our society today with abortions and all the different things that are going on, it is a wonder that with all this surrounding us and also the attacks from all the different angles, attacks against our faith, how important it is that we have the fortitude, the grace of the Holy Ghost, the fortitude to stand up and live our Catholic faith in these times, not to be influenced by the world, not to give in to our fallen human nature, and to be strong and courageous in the practice of our faith. So on this occasion, when we give the sacrament of confirmation, on this occasion when we have two young men graduating from the minor seminary, the theme that I'd like to once again recall is the necessity of fortitude in our lives. We are all weak by God, but by God's grace, we can be sustained. You know, when Jesus chose his apostles, our Lord, God's ways are not man's ways. When we want to hire somebody, we might interview them and want to find the most qualified person. But when our Lord and Savior was going to choose his apostles, he chose the most unqualified. Why? Because he was going to show that the work of his church was not the work of man, but the work of God. And these simple fishermen from Galilee, after Pentecost, after the coming of the Holy Ghost, they went out and converted the world. They preached the gospel to all nations. And they sealed the testimony of the Gospels with their blood. And when we think of the apostles, we can also think of all of our weaknesses, all of our faults and failings and sins. And remember, the factor in all of our lives is the grace of God. By the grace of God, St. Paul said, I am what I am. And our Lord tells us, without me, you can do nothing. So my exhortation to all of us, how important it is that we rely totally on the grace of God. And remember, by the grace of God, we can do all things. As St. Paul says, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And this is how God is glorified. We who are sinners, we who are weak, we who are unworthy, and like the apostles who were before Pentecost. But when the grace of God, when we cooperate with God's grace and the gifts of the Holy Ghost, then the Holy Ghost and His graces will sustain us and help us to do great things for God and for Holy Mother the Church. So those to be confirmed today, be soldiers for Christ. To our graduates, once again, congratulations. And as you commence another phase in your life, remember to go forth courageously, armed with the truth of our Catholic faith, and also armed with the graces and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.